Well, for a time this morning, we're going to look at a portion of scripture we read together. Christmas seems a long way away now. It's only one day ago. But all the preparations, everything else, as we looked last week, to the children particularly, we had the Christmas tree, which is decorated for the birth of Christ and the rejoicing. And we had looked right across history up to his cross and that tree on which he died for our sins. All that from last week has gone, but it's still in our minds and our hearts, and we're still relating to what we might term loosely as the Christmas story. Christ has been born, and now he's been circumcised after 8 days, and now after Mary's purification, which takes 33 days, the child now is brought to the temple of God. Now, Mary and Joseph would have been living in Bethlehem at this time. They hadn't got up to Nazareth. That would be after they went down to Egypt. So they'd been living in Bethlehem. So the journey to go to Jerusalem, because there the temple was, of course, and there the Lord's people worshipped him in the temple. And it was all planned of God. He was a man who was in the temple, and his name was Simeon, a godly man, an aged man, it appears, because God said, you will not see death until you see my son, until you see the Lord's Christ. So God was gracious to this godly man who was one of the quiet in the land, waiting for the appearance of the Son of God, waiting for him to come. They were the shepherds. There was Mary and Joseph, of course, waiting. And little did they think at that time when they were waiting for the actual Messiah to arrive, that she would bear the Messiah in her womb, in a miracle given by God as he came from heaven to be born of a virgin. It's a great mystery, and yet it's a great and wondrous story and record of what God has done to save people like you and like me. God had made him this promise. The promise you will see there in verse 26 of Luke chapter 2. It had been revealed to this godly man by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was waiting, and the Spirit said to him, go to the temple, Simeon, and wait there, and I will reveal to you. I'm reading between the lines here, but he came by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, into the temple. There he was. It was a place where parents used to bring their firstborn to be dedicated to the Lord, and this was nothing new to Simeon. He had seen them coming in, couples coming in with a little boy, and to be dedicated and presented to the Lord. But there was one couple who came into that vast edifice of a place, that temple, that huge place. And yet God directed this man's eyes, his eyes to one little boy, to a couple coming in. He wasn't so concerned about the couple themselves, but they were carrying this baby. And it's obvious that the Spirit of God said to him, this is he. This is the Messiah you've been waiting for. Can you imagine how he must have felt? You can only try to imagine how he must have felt. This actual baby coming in this mother's arms is the Messiah promised from the beginning of before the world was founded. But right back in the book of Genesis, he'd been familiar with the prophets. He'd been familiar with the scriptures that he was one who was to be born a savior. He was one to be born a Messiah. One to be born and promised. And he, of all people, had the privilege of actually seeing this little boy in the temple to be presented to the Lord. And Simeon is there, guided by God. And here is the little baby. Can you imagine the scene? This old gentleman and this younger couple, this young woman, really, Mary. Joseph was probably a few years older. We don't read anything about Joseph after the boy was... Jesus was left, he wasn't left, he tarried behind in the temple, listening to the doctors, answering their questions, and staggering them with the knowledge he had. Joseph disappears off the scene of scriptures. So it's possible that Joseph didn't actually see his adopted son, if you like, that he was the guardian of God's son. What a responsibility. And he didn't actually see him die. We'll come to that in just a little while. But what did he do with Jesus? What did this godly man here to actually go to him? And he took this child from Mary gently and tenderly and lifted him up and looked into his eyes, and he thanked God. He blessed God. Wouldn't you have done the same? He is actually looking. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. I've seen the Christ. I've seen the Son of God. Here, I'm holding him. He was the wonder of it. This man, this aged man, actually holding his Creator in his hands. The very one lying in those warm clothing there was the actual one who made the world in which he was standing. Who made Simeon. Who made all these people coming into the temple. Who made you and me. He contracted himself to a span of 33 years as God the Son in heaven. In a miracle of grace and of God, the Holy Spirit conceived him in the womb of Mary. And here he was, looking into his Creator's eyes. How would he have felt? His hands would have trembled with thankfulness and praise. Lord, he says, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Here is one man who is looking at Christ. He looks at Mary. He looks at Joseph, particularly at Mary. And he says to her, Simeon blessed them both and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Now, what a promise. This is a child. He'll grow up to be a young man, the age of Ethan, the age of all of us. Well, no, only Ethan, because he died at 33 years of age. So it's only Ethan. You're the only one comparable to the age of Christ here today. We're all older. 33 years is all it was, and this young man died. Here was a man who was going to do miracles. He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to cast out demons. And Mary and Joseph must have looked and with jaw-dropping astonishment. This baby is going to be like this. We know he's coming as a savior of the world, but all these things he's going to do. And they stood amazed. They marveled at those things which are spoken of him. This son which God had given to them will be the savior of the world. For you people online, this is a savior for you. If you're not saved this morning, if you haven't come to trust and see the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior, this savior is for you personally. If you do not love the Lord, this is why he came. On those strange words which he speaks to Mary, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, as the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In other words, he was telling Mary of something of a prophetic about Jesus, that is going to so happen to him that her heart will be pierced as with a sword. Great sadness, great pain, great sadness. He's here for the fall and rising again of many. Here he has come. He's divided history, B.C., A.D., and he is the one who stands in the middle of history. He's done away with the Old Testament sacrifices, all the blood of the animals that were shed. He's done away with that once forever. He's brought in the new covenant. This new covenant, the covenant of blood shed from the Lamb of God himself when he goes to the cross. This is why he came, in order to give his life a ransom for many. And this is what Simeon is saying to the, or God is saying to these people, a sword to Mary shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. God can see into our hearts. He knows everything about us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what our intentions are. He knows what we've done and all those things we've regretted doing. Even as Christians, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. He knows what people are thinking who are not Christians. He knows what goes through their minds. He knows that there are people who are skeptical, who said, I don't believe in this Jesus. I don't want him for my Savior. It's just a myth. He knows what they're thinking. And one day, he will visit them and this world to judge them in righteousness. The word of God says this. He will judge them by that man, Christ Jesus. He's now been in the world and he will grow up to be a young man, a teenager, without sin, spotless Son of God. There's nobody can say, I am without sin, only the Lord Jesus Christ. They could point at him and he says, which of you convinces me of sin? And they could not. Even when he came before Pilate, they had liars, they had people making up stories about him. They wanted false witnesses, they wanted to put him to death. Why did they want to put him to death? What evil has he done, says Pilate? I find no fault in this man. Why do you want to kill him? Why do you want to put him to death? But he knew that for envy, they were jealous of him, because he was the one who claimed to be God, because he was God, and he is God. He is the one who has died for sinners. He is the one who was in the plan of God, going before the authorities and the Roman authorities and the Gentiles to be flogged, to be beaten, to be chastised, to be mocked, and then finally to drag his cross to Calvary and there to be nailed in order to be made a sacrifice for our sins, for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of all those who are watching online. It's for your sins. This is why Jesus died. When Mary, that dear woman, was there by the cross of Jesus, a little group of women there, tears would have flowed as they watched her son being nailed to that cross, being lifted up and dropped into the socket. All in my bones, he says, I feel are out of joint. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. Read Psalm 22 and see something of the prophetic sufferings of Jesus. Read Isaiah 53, which the majority of Jews pass over today. But there are people being read, the scripture being read to them, and with the Christian witness to Israel, and people are being saved. God's opening eyes. You cannot read Isaiah 53 without being moved at what Jesus suffered for us upon the tree, upon the cross of Calvary. Not just a physical pain. For 3 hours he suffered the mocks and the jestings of people and laughing and pointing a finger. If you were the Christ, come down from the cross. He said nothing against them. He prayed for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This is all in the plan of God, the predetermined counsel of God, that his son should die for a select people, a people chosen by God, for sinners like you and like me. Jesus died that we might live. And as this woman watches him on the cross, his mother who bore him, his mother who watched over him all his years, and when he get to the age of 30, he went out on his public ministry. There he preached the word of God that people should repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he die? He didn't die because of his own sins. He died because of my sins and your sins. He died for the sins of the world. He died for your sins. He was condemned to death by his Father. God so loved us. He loved his Son with everlasting love. And yet, he was willing to turn away his face from his Son when he suffered upon the cross in his 3 hours of darkness. He couldn't look upon his Son who bore in his own body my sins, your sins upon the tree. This is what Peter said. Peter, writing to Christians, said, he bore my sins in his own body to the tree. Peter, you who denied him. Peter, always quick with your tongue. Peter, you cursed and swore you left him. But he's forgiven me, he says. I've repented. He's forgiven me. He's cleansed me. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He was punished instead of me as you lay there, as you hung there. Jesus suffering for you and for me. And Simeon could see this in a sense. God had revealed it to him, to Mary here, that a sword shall pierce through your own soul. And as John the Apostle, who was with the women at the foot of the cross, led her away when Jesus hung limp and dead upon the cross, he took her into his own home, as Jesus commanded him to do. But Simeon says this, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Simeon was at peace. He'd seen the Savior. He'd seen the Son of God. He'd looked at him. He'd seen the one for whom he had been waiting. And he said, Lord, I'm ready to die now. I can go home because I've seen your Son. He was ready to die. He's ready to die because Christ was his Savior and his friend. Paul the Apostle was ready to die, and he said, it's better for me to die than even to stay with you sometimes, I feel. But he said, because you need my ministry, and then the Lord has said, you shall minister to these people. But he said, I want to depart and be with Christ. I've served the Lord. I've served him faithfully over all these years. And I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd been tortured and whipped, and he'd been beaten. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been mocked. He'd been stoned. Because he loved Christ. And he was willing to suffer in his body because Jesus suffered for him on the cross. To be with Christ, he says, which is far better. Simeon, you want to leave this world? Yes, he said, I want to leave this world. And he says, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart. And apparently the word means they're letting your servant is setting him free. We're bound here to earth until the Lord takes us away. He's given us life. We're here as human beings. We have life, physical life. He's given us spiritual life. And this world will pass away. It will be destroyed. God will make a new heavens and a new earth in which dwell righteousness. But we are going to leave this body and we'll depart and be set free from this body. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Says it all there. Or 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. Says it all there. We'll one day see this Christ as this dear man looked upon Jesus. Now he said, I'm ready to go to heaven. I want to go. I've seen him. My life is complete. And our lives are not complete until we have seen the Savior. Until we have trusted him as personally Lord and Savior. I have to ask the question, am I ready to die? Are we ready to die? Are you ready to die? We may have lived without Christ for many years. And we may say, like many say, I don't need this Christ. And some blasphemously say, when I meet God, I have one or two things to say against him. When they see God, they will fall on their faces and know their places. Here is one who is utterly holy. Indeed, the word of God tells us he's a consuming fire. Here is one who was ready to meet this God. Paul now has met him. Simeon has met him. The saints of God have met him through the ages. Because believers will rise in glory. Jesus said about himself, he said, I am the rock of ages, he says. I am the one, anybody builds upon me, he will be safe. If you don't build upon what I'm promising you, then you'll be like that house built upon sand. He said, I'm like a rock. He said, those who fall upon me, who repent and believe and trust in me, will be broken. Broken in spirit. Say, Lord, I have nothing to offer. You've achieved it all for me. You've died for me. You've completed the work. You said on the cross, it is finished. I trust you, Lord Jesus, with my life. I trust you. But he said, if you refuse me, and I, the rock, will fall upon you, you'll be crushed to powder. He will come as a judge one day. He's now as a savior, offering his forgiveness to all who will take it, offering forgiveness to those who will seek his face. As Simeon here was ready, I'll ask again, are we ready to die? Maybe young, maybe old. Old people generally die more frequently than young, but young people die too. And we have to die facing a holy God. And Jesus is our only hope. He's done it all for us. We need to say sorry to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, and turn away from that which is past. Turn a new way following Christ. Jesus called it being born again. You have a new start. You have a new life. You start running that race of life from the time you turn to Christ. No matter how old or how young we are, Jesus is the only one who can do it for you. He looked at Jesus and he saw his Savior. Now we have never seen Jesus. But Moses says in the Old Testament there, he followed Christ. He said, coming into this world, the rock which he looked to. He was the one who seeing him, says the word of God, who is invisible. How can you see somebody who's invisible? It's not possible. Yet it is by faith. We'll never see Christ physically until we meet him in glory. But we can see him there upon the cross, suffering for us. We see our sins placed upon him. We see the judgment placed upon him. We see it through the eye of faith. We look to Christ. Jesus himself said about the Old Testament when the children of Israel were bitten by vipers and that snake was risen up, the brass snake on a pole, he says, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so I will be lifted up on a cross. They looked and they lived when they looked at that serpent and they lived, they were healed. Look at Christ and you'll be healed physically and spiritually, especially spiritually. Not always physically, but you look to Christ and you will be healed in an instant. He says, just a look. Spurgeon says, a look. Anybody can look, he says. Rich men can look. Beggars can look. Fools can look. All it needs is to lift your eyes and behold Jesus suffering on the cross instead of you, bearing your punishment instead of you upon the cross of Calvary, rising again from the dead, ascending into heaven, seated at the right hand of his Father, and now his Spirit is here, pleading with people to look to Christ or perish. Simeon looked, and he was saved. Bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place, in your place, in your place. Condemned, he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. What a hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing my sins, he bore your sins, all of it. You're watching online, he bore your sins. Have you turned to Christ? Given your life to him? Repented of your sin? He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This man, Simeon, died in peace because he looked to Christ. We too will die in peace if we look to Christ, knowing his grace upon us. Oh, you will have troubles, of course, as you know, we'll experience, even as Christians, we'll have troubles, perhaps more troubles, because the devil will hate us the more, because God delivered us from his power. But Christ is with us. Christ is in us. One day we'll see him like Simeon, face to face. This light to bring the revelation to the Gentiles, to us, and glory to his people Israel. May the Lord bless us as we look to him, as we trust in him, as we look and believe and follow him faithfully. May the Lord bless you. Bless our loved ones. Bless those who are listening online. And may this coming year be a year of blessing, knowing the nearness of Christ as we look constantly, not looking back, but looking forward to the future, which is glorious for all Christians. Amen. World, and you gave your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. With praise to your name, our Father, we worship you, O Lord, and may the blessing of God, our Heavenly Father, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Guide, be with us all now and until Jesus comes or calls for us, and then forevermore. Amen.